Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Now we've gotten through the beating, which that's what it was. It was a beating in Ai. And Joshua fell on his face before the Lord, only to be told by the Lord that the best place for a man to be whenever there's sin in the camp ain't down there on his face wondering why everything's going wrong. Amen. I'm going to tell you, now you wrap your mind around that for a minute and you'll start realizing why this country and this world's in the shape it's in. People on the ground crying out, "Oh God, why is things as bad as they are?" The Lord said, "Well, if you took a look around at what's in the camp right now, there's a lot of sin in the camp. And they wonder why they ain't nobody getting, you know, why they ain't getting saved by the boatload, and why revival ain't breaking out all over the world and all over the country. And they wonder why that is. Well, because there's sin in the camp. God'll never take anything and put it over your sin and cover it up except one thing. That's blood. That's it. He ain't gonna take revival and cover your sin with it, so that it ain't there. Amen? He ain't going to take fellowship and cover up your sin and make it as though it ain't there. There's only one thing that He'll ever cover your sin that'll make it as though it ain't there, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that that blood is going to get put on them sin is if the child of God who's committed the sin confesses the sin and claims 1 John 1:9 and puts it under the blood, and then it's removed far as the east is from the west. I tell you, that just, Brother Drake told me, he said, "I never heard the story about the daddy sitting in there reading the science book and about the ocean." He said, "Brother, that was good." He said, "That got me excited." But anyway, Joshua's now got everything under control, or I guess we could say he's made amends between the people and God. What did it cost? Well, at first it cost 36 people their lives for one man's testimony's sake. Then it cost that man and his family everything they had, including their lives, in order to get fellowship restored between a nation and a holy God. All right, so now where are we at? Well, now we're back in the position where we were to begin with. We're taking on Ai. But this time the Lord gives him a little bit different direction. Instead of saying, "Well, let's just take a few people up there, it's a small place," the Lord said, "No, let's take everybody up there. How about that?" He said, whenever it comes to taking on something that God wants you to take, He's going to make sure it's something that you can handle. It's not going to be something, well, it could turn this way or it could turn this way. The Lord ain't about sending people into something where they're intended to be victorious and they come out losers. Because, now listen, you and I on our own at our best state and at the best effort we can offer, we're losers, all right? Just a big OL right there, man. That's what we are. Man at his best state's altogether vanity, the preacher said over in Song of Solomon. And he made it very plain and clear that you and I in our own strength could not do anything. Bible even tells us our sufficiencies of God. So, but what I want to talk to you about tonight, we're not going to take too awful long here, just considering the time, and I know that it took us a little bit to get here because of traffic, but anyway, what I want to talk to you about tonight is keeping momentum. Sometimes it's hard to keep momentum. Sometimes it's hard to, once something comes along that just bows it up and stops it. So we're just going to read one verse here, Joshua 8 and verse 1. "The Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee." Alright, take everybody. He said, "Take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." So we're talking about momentum. And here the Lord says, now we ain't taking no chances. I'm not taking any chances on you thinking that even with the lowered numbers you might be victorious, because then the tendency of a man is to do what? He's to claim that he's the reason why the battle got won. He said, "Well, I ain't, you know, we didn't take everybody, and so the ones that went, is you know, they must be something special about them." No, they ain't nothing special about them. Ain't nothing special about, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of men gone on before you and me, a lot of women gone on before you and me, who were a lot closer to the Lord, had a lot of power with God, and had a lot of success as far as seeing souls saved and seeing revivals break out across their land. And can I tell you something about them? They ain't no different than you and me. They put their britches on the same way. They fought the same sin. They dealt with the same things that you and I deal with. You know what the thing is? They had the same God we do. Amen? I mean, you think about it. I've heard it said a bunch of times. They still say it. Oh, well, we need some more Apostle Pauls. Oh, well, we need some more, you know, we need some more Timothys, and we need some more of this, and we need some more of that. Why do you need more of that? They were there for the time in which God needed them. And God don't need, He didn't need them no more. So they passed off the scene. If they were still needed, they'd still be here. Now, they'd be 2,000 years old, but they'd still be here. But if they didn't, but the Lord said, all right, you've done what I needed you to do. Now it's time for you to go on. It's time for you to come home. That's what it's about. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We joke about it, but we say that the retirement plan that the Lord's got's out of this world, ain't it? But there ain't no retirement plan when it comes to the Lord's work down here. Preachers get out of the pastorate and say, well, I ain't pastoring church no more. I'm retired. Why, if you was retired, you'd be on the bottom side of the sod. Amen. Instead of picking daisies up this way, you'd be pushing them up that way. You ain't done. If God ain't done with you yet, you wouldn't be here right now. You wouldn't be breathing if God was done with you. So, the thing to keep in mind is this, is whenever the thing come along that happens in our lives, and each of us going to find them, each of us going to hit them, but when you hit them times, when something comes along, it wants to stop your momentum, and it wants to just take every bit of progress that you're trying to make and bring it to a screeching halt. One of the things you've got to remember is this. Momentum is not cruise control. Amen? I don't know about any of y'all, but when I get on the road and we got a long ways to haul and I get on the interstate, generally I'll reach over and I'll flip that button, that cruise control, and I'll set her down to about 80 or 82. Whatever the flow of traffic is, and then I just scooch down. I click her back a couple of ticks on the seat and I settle in. I might turn on a preacher or something like that. Generally, I'm praying they're asleep. Because if they're asleep, I don't have to worry about potty breaks. Amen. I can get out about 6 or 7 hours before I have to worry about stopping for anything. But I tell you something. The thing is, a lot of Christians, they get some momentum built up, and then instead of holding that momentum like they ought to, they reach over and they hit cruise control. And now their spiritual life's in cruise control. And what is it? What does that mean? It means that they're leaving the flow and the rate at which they're traveling up to the ones that they're around. Amen? That's the way a lot of Christians are. Instead of looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, what's the speed limit you want me traveling at? They look at what everybody else is doing around them and say, well, if the cops don't get them, they ain't got no reason to pull me if they ain't going to pull them. So you see where we're at today. A lot of Christians is in cruise control, but they're trying to call it momentum. That ain't momentum. Joshua here, they had some momentum. They had come out of the river Jordan and they went right into the land of Canaan. They walked around the walls of Jericho. That thing hit the ground just like God said it would. Excitement was building. The people were rejoicing. And God brought them to the gates and there was Ai. And because one man decided to do what he thought was best for him, they fell at Ai and the momentum come to a screeching halt. All that buildup and all that momentum. Listen, it's easy. I'm going to give you two things. That's all. I'm going to give you two things and we're done. All right? First thing, it's the hardest thing. What? Momentum is the hardest thing to start once it's stopped. Keeping your momentum as a child of God is the hardest thing in the world to get started back once it's come to a dead halt. It's hard. I mean, the inability to get past what stopped you in the first place is generally one of the reasons why momentum is so hard to get picked back up again. People get stopped by something, some little old sin or some little old issue or something happens. Now listen, I ain't saying that all things that put your momentum in the ground is fleshly things. Listen, sometimes it's trouble. Sometimes trouble can bring your momentum to a screeching halt. I mean, the death of a loved one can bring your momentum to an absolute halt. A bad doctor's visit could bring your momentum right to a stopping point. And why is that? Because we're flesh. Because we're people. We're human beings. But God has given us the ability to put the pedal to the metal whenever things are going good, and when the opportunity, and we pick up the pace and we keep that momentum going. And the thing that we get, and I'm going to get into it here in the next little bit, but momentum is the hardest thing to start once it's stopped. Now, there's a reason why the Lord wants Christians to keep their momentum. I mean, He tells them, He said, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but they that one may obtain?" And they say, and He talks about this life is a race to be run, and it's something that goes on. I don't know what He's liking it to driving or being on a trip or whatever. That's what this is, right? He said, "Broad is the way and wide's the gate leads to destruction, but straight is the way and narrow that leads to life, and few there be that go in." But whenever the inability of a person does not have the ability to get around or get beyond the thing that brought their momentum to a halt, it's something that's going to make it even more difficult for them to pick it back up again. Generally, this stems from our inability to get beyond ourselves. Amen. A lot of times, the problem is us. It ain't the situation. Listen, folks, situations are just situations. Incidents are just incidents. Life is life. It's the same for one as it is for another. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. There's no difference one way or the other. What's the difference? Well, the Bible makes it clear and it makes it plain that the righteous man falleth down 7 times and then he gets up again. What's the difference between you and me? The ability that the child of God has is to get up, claim the blood, claim the grace of God, get around whatever it was that stopped the momentum, and get the ball rolling again. That's what the child of God has on their side that the world don't have, that the flesh don't have, and that the devil don't have. Amen. When their plans come to a halt, brother, they're in the dirt, they're stopped, they're not getting back up again. But the child of God has the ability to have the Holy Ghost within them, and when they go through these things and they bring their momentum to a halt, they claim the blood, they get on their knees, and just like the old ox trying to pull a stump out of the ground, he can't do it from his feet, so he gets down on his knees and he leans into the traces until he uproots that thing. He gets it out of the ground, gets around it, and then he gets to plowing again, and the momentum picks back up. But there's going to come those times. But a lot of times, the reason why the Christian has a hard time with the momentum picking it back up once it's stopped has to do with themselves. It's me, oh Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. That's who it is. It's not, my momentum ain't dead halted because of brother so-and-so. I'm not here bogged down in the mud because of sister so-and-so. Oh, well, if my background were just better, if I'd have had a better raising, well, if I hadn't messed up as much as I did back there. Listen, you can call it whatever you want, but the only thing keeping us from getting our wheels dug into some good ground and momentum again is us. We're it. Bible says, Psalm 73, verse 6, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." I mean, that's... I've watched bodybuilders or people who go to the extreme with this working out stuff, and you know what I notice they'll do sometimes, just by way of building up muscle, they'll put a chain around their neck, and then they'll get on them, whatever them things are, where they can pull their legs up under them, and then they can do them, whatever them are. I don't know how that stuff goes. I lift concrete panels for a living. I don't go in a gym. I went to the doctor one time and I said, "Should I be in the gym working out?" And he says, "You work in the gym every day." He said, "Picking up them panels and lifting them up and throwing a shovel in the ground." He said, "If you'd just eat right," he said, "you wouldn't have no trouble." But the thing is for a lot of Christians, that their inability, now listen, they have a hard time getting around the situation, but we've already established that a lot of times the reason they can't get around the situation is because they can't get over themselves. All right? So pride compasseth them about as a chain. It hinders them. It renders them unable to get their tires on some hard, firm ground where they can get out of that bog that they've been in, get up and keep going. And that's exactly the way Israel was getting to whenever they go to Ai after all that momentum coming out of Jordan, going through Jericho, and now they're fixing to take over Ai, which is just a little old bitty place, and the buck stopped right there, right at the doorway. Here this little old measly group of people come out and whoop that army that had just went in and took over Jericho. Wrought a great victory, man. Just saw the promise of God fulfilled right before their eyes. Didn't even have to raise a hand to bring down the wall. You know, study in history and you study battle tactics and you study, what is that thing, the Art of War. That was what that was. Does anybody remember that? It was a book that a guy came up with, The Art of War, and it had to do with battle tactics and stuff like that. It's probably as far as whenever people go into like military training and they're beginning to be one of the higher ups and they're trying to learn about these different things. That's one of the books that they introduce them to is The Art of War. But one of the things about it is that they'll tell you, and one of the things you'll learn is when it comes to taking over a city or taking over a different area that you're coming into, the hardest thing to do is to get past their frontal defense, which is generally a wall, or it's a river, or it's something. It's something that is placed around the perimeter of the city in order to slow the opposition down just enough to where we can get some shots off, or we can do something to try to stop them. And listen, that's where a lot of Christians get. They get to that place where God delivers them through Jericho's walls, and the walls fall. And then when they get into Ai, which shouldn't be a walk in the park for them, they get bogged down because why? Because they can't get beyond themselves. They can't get beyond themselves. And I'll tell you this. When your momentum hits a dead screeching halt, I tell you what it'll do. It'll make you take a different look and a different viewpoint at the obstacles that are ahead of you in the future. In some instances, that's good. In other instances, it ain't. It's a good thing because you can look at it and you can say, now I remember what happened here. And I know how God got me around that thing. So you know what? Lord, I'm going to go around this thing and avoid having to hit this thing again and go through this mess again. But it's a bad thing in the sense of you'll say, well, there's some of these situations over here and there's a possibility of this over there and there's a possibility of that over there. I tell you what, I ain't even going over there. The Lord said, but this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Lord, I ain't going that way. He said, but this is the way that my will's directing you. Amen. Now, you going to be obedient to my will, or are you going to do what you want to do? Now, you talk about something will put your momentum in park. When the Lord comes over here and He draws a line, He says, now you can cross this line. He said, but this is my will. And He said, you're going to cross my will as opposed to walk in my will. So momentum as far as the Christian's walk is concerned, it's the hardest thing in the world to start once it's been stopped. Think about your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Boy, you have about 4 or 5 days where, man, the reading of the Word is sweet and the praying sweet. Man, it feels like you don't even have to... It's like you could be driving down the road and you just start talking to Him and you don't have to warm the engine up. It's just like you say, man, Lord, and He just opens up the door and says, yeah, what is it? I was hoping you was fixing the call. And man, it's just sweet. That fellowship is sweet. And the interaction between us and the Father is just sweet to the taste. I mean, Psalms, He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And man, you know what that feels like. And you know what that sounds like. And you know what it smells like. And I mean, listen, I can go to my dad over on Norton, I could go to him right now. And I mean, you could blindfold me and you could let 100 people come up and hug me. But when my daddy puts his arms around me and I smell what he smells like and I feel what his hug feels like, I can tell you that that's my daddy in comparison to 100 other people. And listen, when the Father wraps you up and the feeling of that spiritual closeness and that feeling with that fellowship, all that just overwhelms your soul. Boy, it just helps you to get up out of that rut you've been in, get the momentum going again. But buddy, when that thing comes to a halt, boy, it's sometimes hard to get it out of the ditch then. It's hard. That's why the devil's so good at derailing Christians after a good church meeting or after a good time of fellowship or a bunch of answered prayer. You've been calling out to Him. You've been bringing matters before Him. You've been doing this and you've been doing that. You've just been like the old ox in the traces. Just keep plowing and plowing. And man, you've been looking for an answer. And boom, there it is. And man, He comes through and He heals that sickness, or He gives strength beyond that adversity, or He gives grace beyond that trial. And He does it all without Him having to even, but without it costing you anything except just time and faith. Amen. Sometimes the prayer don't get answered as quick as I want it to. Sometimes the answer don't come as fast as I want it to. But blessed be unto God that when the answer comes, I know it's in His time. And that gives me the ability to keep going forward and keep going forward. But boy, when it don't come as quick as I'm expecting it, boy, you talk about putting a screeching halt to your momentum spiritually. And it gets you. But now let me say this to you on the other end of the coin. Now this is the other end of the coin. See, it's a hard thing to get started once it's been stopped. But can I tell you this? It's a hard thing to stop once it's got going. Amen. Boy, you get a taste of that, man. You get a snoot full of that. And boy, I tell you, and you get it for a long enough period of time, eventually you're going to get to where them obstacles don't matter much. Amen? I mean, you think of it like this. You think of it. I don't know if anybody else ever done this. Here's a really good example. We've been moving. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't been no easy feat. But thank God for them rolling dollies. Amen? Thank God for them things. But I've had one that looked like Christopher Columbus brought it over on the Mayflower. Thing's about that tall, it's orange, and the wheels are about that big around, and they are as hard as anything. I mean, you roll over a pebble, and whatever heavy load you got on that thing, it is just begging to pitch that thing off onto the side. I've moved the refrigerator with that thing, and I thought for sure that I was going to lose that thing before I even got it set down. But I tell you what, my nanny come down, and she said, "Son, why don't you go up there and get mine out of the garage?" And I said, "I didn't even know you had one up there." She said, "Yeah, and it's a good one." I went up there to the garage, and here she's got a brand new one. That thing stands about that tall, about as tall as I am. Tires on that thing are about that big, and they're inflated. So there's some cushion. Man, I put that thing on there on that refrigerator, and I just wheel that thing around wherever I wanted it. My brother come over, and he said, "You want to take it upstairs?" "Yeah." Roll that thing up to the step, and I'm standing there. I'm like, "All right, you ready?" He said, "I'm ready." I give it a pull, and he just gives it a lift, and pop, right up on the step, right up on the step. And we roll that thing right into the kitchen. Sometimes it's just, what does it take? Sometimes it just takes you stopping for a while, just long enough to get the tires aired up. Hey, man, them hard tires make for hard traveling. Soft tire makes for a little smoother ride. And a hardened heart sure does a lot to make a ride a lot more difficult to deal with than if we were to let the Holy Spirit of God soften our heart a little bit. What'll that do? That'll make that momentum pick up to the point where it's, you know, like we've said, it's hard to get started once it's stopped. But boy, you get it started the right way, and it'll be hard to stop it once it gets going. It'll be hard. What is that? It's like that old talk about the immovable object beats the unstoppable force. Well, listen, when you're on the Lord's side, you got the Holy Ghost of God inside of you, you've got an unstoppable force. And if your feet are planted on the rock of salvation, that's an immovable object. So you've got the win-win on either side. I mean, I'm on the immovable object, and Him that's greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. That's the unstoppable force. But listen, when it gets when that momentum gets going, you know why it's one of the hardest things to stop once it gets going? It's because you've proved its ability to pull past and beyond the problem. You've proved it. He says over in Hebrews, I'll go over here and I want to read you. You ought to know this verse, Hebrews chapter 12. And he says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let me get over here and I'll read it. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now listen, what is that? That's momentum. That's building momentum. Lay aside. Listen, when Paul was in the middle of that storm over there in Acts 27, in order for the boat to keep above the waves, they thought that they were going to need to lighten the load. And that's exactly what they did. They threw over the provisions. They threw over their food. They threw over everything. The only thing they didn't get rid of was the people that was on the boat. And Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And here they are throwing all of that overboard. Why? Because the Apostle Paul said, be of good cheer. There stood beside me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he's told me that there will be no loss of life, but just the butt of the ship. They pitched all their provisions over, all them physical provisions, all that stuff to satisfy the flesh, all overboard. It was gone. And you know what enabled that boat to do? It enabled that boat to stay above the waves just enough to where it could wedge itself in the harbor, in the land over there. And that's exactly what you and I are on right now. We're on that old lifeboat, boy, and that things are going down. And I mean, what are we doing? Get rid of that stuff that takes care of the flesh. Get rid of that stuff that's appealing to this old nature and this old man. Get rid of that stuff. Throw it away. Move it away from you as far as the east is from the west. Cling to that which is good and right, that which draws you nearer unto God. And it'll bring the momentum of that boat up a little higher, up a little more, so that when the storm keeps raging, however much longer it is that it rages, you'll be able to ride out the storm, because momentum that gets started when it's started with the power of God behind it can move past and beyond those things that would otherwise have stopped it. Amen. And then I want to say this and I'm done. It's a hard thing to stop once it starts, because you've learned that once it gets started at certain times, it'll carry you when your strength is incapable of carrying it. Y'all go to the... I mean, I know most everybody in here has been to the beach. You've been out there in the water. You can get out there, and I mean, I tell you, if you ever get hung up in a rip current, I'm going to tell you, sometimes that's hard to deal with. I remember being out there, and we didn't care to get out there. We was out there in water 10, 12 foot deep. And them waves just come in, and man, they go right over you. And man, when they hit, it just surge under there. And boy, what you thought, you were just in still water here, I'm just a treading. And buddy, what you didn't realize is just a few feet underneath of your foot is a rip current that's just begging for something to get in it so that it can and jerk you right out to sea. But I tell you something, you learn though. I learned this when I was down there in Florida. Whenever you get out there in that water and you get to paddling and you get to wear and you're wearing out, if you'll turn yourself at an angle with the shoreline and you'll just make sure you stay afloat, that rip current will turn you loose as long as you're pointed in the right direction, and that wave will carry you back into the shoreline. And folks, when you got your head turned in the direction that the Lord's momentum is driving you, right? I mean, I ain't got... Well, Max is sitting back here, but I'm going to say my boys that I do my examples with are not here, but Max is back yonder. But if Max... I ain't going to have him come up here, but I mean, if Max were to get up here and stand in front of me and I say, all right, I'm going that way. I'm going that way, and I want you to make me go this way. Well, I'm going to go that way, and he may try to stop me. Big as he is, he probably could now. But I tell you what he's going to do. He may stop me, but if he don't stop me, I'll tell you what he will do. He's going to really slow me down from getting back to where I want to go. Whereas if, likened to the Holy Spirit of God, he says, yeah, but I want you to go this way. And I turn around and say, oh, okay, well, I'll go this way. And he just puts his hand right behind me. But we're going to get up here a lot quicker than what I would have got back there. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit of God is pushing the momentum this way, but the child of God's too scared, they're trying to get this away.
Can I tell you this? Do you ever fight the will of God? Sometimes you don't do it. Sometimes you do it and you don't even mean to do it. You realize that? The Bible even made provision for sin of ignorance. Stuff that you did, you didn't even realize you was doing. And man, you want to follow the will of the Lord, but sometimes we're stubborn. You know, we're bullheaded. And you're sitting here going, man, I know this is what God wants. But I may be trying to get what God wants at the wrong time God wants it. So the Holy Spirit of God is pushing me that away, but I want to go that away. And so you see what I'm saying. We get into that situation where you'll wear yourself out. Because let's be honest, if you're going to butt heads with the Almighty God, who's going to win? It ain't going to be you. You're going to butt heads with the Holy Ghost of God. I promise you, you're going to come away with a headache. But you know what you're going to learn through those situations? Now, this is just where it's great. This isn't just about, well, if you know there's things wrong between you and God, then your momentum's bogged up and you're trying to get it started. No, sometimes you're in the right. Sometimes your momentum's going and you're trying to do right. You're trying to live right. You're trying to be as faithful as you can be. But man, just sometimes the momentum of the Holy Ghost of God propelling you, and you've just been like, wait, and eventually you fight against it for so long that you just tire out. And you get exhausted. And you know what happens then? That momentum that you tried to keep going and you've stayed faithful and you keep praying and you keep reading your Bible, you keep going to church, you keep trying to be a witness, you keep trying to do something for His honor and glory. You're looking for Him every day, the author and finisher of our faith. Every morning you wake up, maybe today will be the day He comes back. Maybe today is the day I'm finally going to look on His face. And man, you're tired and weary and wore out, but then all of a sudden it's just like, I ain't got the strength to go no more. I can't go any farther. I can't make another step. And it's Holy Ghost of God just walks by and says, that's all right, I'll carry you. Amen. I'll carry you a while. I don't know how long, though. I'm pretty tired. He said, that's all right. I got strength for the day. I got strength. I got hope for tomorrow. I got mercy that renews every morning. And you say, but I don't want my momentum to die down. He says, then it won't. As long as I'm carrying you, you can guarantee that you're going to go at my pace. Amen. But when your strength gets back, I want to let you put your feet on the ground, because there's a lot of things to be earned and won when you can make the step in the right direction because you want to. Amen. Not because you went against what He wanted and you wore out and He had to carry you back into strength again. So when it comes to momentum, when it comes to this thing of keeping momentum, it's the hard thing to get started once it's been stopped. And oftentimes the reason it stops is because we can't get beyond something, or a lot of it, we can't get beyond ourselves. But sometimes the reason it's slowing down is because we've been going against it, and the Lord says, that's all right. He says, I understand. Listen, He knows your heart. There's a difference in momentum that's bogged up and quit just because somebody's gotten stubborn and rebellious against the Lord, and then somebody who's trying to do right and they're trying to live right, and man, it just feels like they're spinning their wheels. There's a difference. What's the difference? The momentum hasn't quit when a person's still seeking the will of the Lord genuinely. They want the will of God. They're trying. I mean, they're trying their hardest. But the momentum that's hard to stop once it gets started is the momentum that comes from the child of God who says, I'm not comfortable being on cruise control. I'm not comfortable with letting what's going on around me dictate how fast I'm going to go, how much power I'm going to have. I'm not big on mechanics, so I don't know. But I do know this. I know that whenever I'm driving my vehicle without cruise control, that when it starts slowing down a little bit and I want to pick up the momentum, I push that pedal a little harder. And when I do, all of a sudden that motor goes, and that RPM goes up like that. Boy, that's where I want to be.
me and the Lord, that's where I want to be with Him.
Yeah. There you go. Overdrive. I want that thing up here. I want it tacking out. Because you know what happens? I can get up, I can get up 70, 80, 90 mile an hour, and that thing's still wah, wah, wah. But you know what happens? I reach over and flip cruise control, and you know what's going to happen? Them RPMs are going to go, and it's just going to... I don't want that. Because that's where my flesh gets comfortable. You drive for a long distance, and you start getting sleepy, and you start nodding off. First thing I do when that happens, I turn off cruise control. Because if I have to keep control of the brake and the gas, it makes me stay awake and pay attention to where I'm going. Momentum's a great thing, but power placed in the wrong direction can cause a real big mess, as we just sat and witnessed, which made us late. I mean, I ain't saying it was one person's fault or another person's fault, but somebody quit paying attention. Somebody did. Somebody was going too fast. Somebody wasn't paying attention. And it was just one person. One person quit paying attention. Three people got involved. It's dangerous, ain't it? When your momentum's going, the Holy Spirit of God's just blowing through. Boy, it's dangerous to get in the mud. Because you start spinning them wheels and then all of a sudden it's just gonna come to a screeching halt. You're praying and there ain't no prayers getting answered. You're reading, but there ain't nothing coming from it. So what happens? Well, instead of keep reading and keep praying till the Lord's momentum gets you out of the hole, you just quit. You quit praying. Yeah, you might throw a, you know, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for food in there. You might throw in a, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You might throw one of them in there. But I can guarantee you one thing, that your heart, isn't that what He said? He said, with their lips they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. I don't want that to be my case. Amen. I don't want that to be the case of our church. Boy, the way the Spirit of God blowed through here and met with us Sunday, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, listen, you know me. Sometimes, I mean, I like to get going and I like to get preaching and man, just have me a fit while I'm preaching. That's awesome. It was a whole nother thing. Listen, that brother wasn't doing me no favors when he was sitting right back yonder about halfway back right there and I'm up here and we're singing and man, we're singing them old songs. He'd get happy. He'd throw that Bible and point it right at me. Amen! What'd that do, man? That just tripped my trigger, boy. Get me going. What is that? That's somebody that's trying to keep the momentum in the right direction. That's what we got to have. It's all that's been on my mind all day. All day long. This message, I don't know that it made sense. I don't have a clue. But all I've had on my mind all day long was Joshua taking Israel and going back to Ai. They got beat. They got whooped. But they went back. They didn't say, well, you know what? There's plenty of other places we can go. This is a blip on the radar in the grand scheme of things. We can go anywhere else, but we got beat there. No, that ain't what he did. He said, no, our momentum got halted because there was sin in the camp. I've got to get our momentum going by meeting that challenge again, but doing it the right way. And that's how we keep the momentum going again. And that's going to be the same way for us, Christian. What days we've got ahead, I don't know. Can I ask you a question? And this is just a personal question. You don't have to answer it. You can answer it within yourself. But everybody's aware of what took place in our country today, right? We got a new leader. Do we not? Anybody pray for him today? Anybody ask God to help him? Give him wisdom? Give him strength. See what's that? Yeah, save him. Lord, if he's lost, save him. He's Catholic. Likely or not, he's lost. I know some saved Catholics. But I don't guarantee that. I mean, I know some lost Baptists. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? Those sorts of things. praying when you don't feel like praying. Spending time with Him when you don't feel like it. You know something He smote my heart with? Whenever we talk about tithing, you know, y'all know I don't preach on tithing much. But you know, listening to Brother Bill up here Sunday morning, preaching on obedience, and then turning around and preaching on giving and things like that. You know what I realize is a lot of people can't tithe their money, so a lot of them tithe their time. And I thought, well, Lord, that ought to be something I'm doing every single day. It shouldn't just be that I'm tithing my time when it's convenient for me. I ought to be tithing that every day. What does that mean? Well, there are 24 hours in a day, right? So if I go 10% of a day, that's just under 2.5 hours. Just under 2.5 hours. What would we have as far as momentum goes if we could tithe a tenth of our day and give it to the Lord? Where would our church be if as a group, this group right here, now this is the backbone of our church right here. There's people that would be here if they could, and they wish they could. And I miss them. I miss seeing them. But this group right here, it's going to have to start somewhere. We can have a rip-roaring church service once every blue moon if we want to. But you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have enough momentum built up through each and every single service, each and every single day, each and every single week, that when the hard times come and the dryness comes, we can go right through it. The momentum of the power of God in our hearts that we're taking home with us every day is going to propel us right through those troubles, right through those trials, right through that peril. It's going to carry us right through it. But it's got to start here. It's got to start with us. I challenge you. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to do this. You know, you don't get mad at the teacher at school when they give your kid homework. Right? Did you? My mom never got mad. She got mad if they didn't give us homework. You know, it's like, great, now I got to find something for him to do. I mean, you don't get mad at the teacher when they give the kid homework, so don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher offers you a spiritual challenge. I challenge you. Set a time. Don't set chapters to read. Set you a time. Say, for this amount of time every day. It don't have to be at a certain hour, but just designate that today, starting today and every day from now, I'm going to give this much time to reading my Bible. And then I'm going to give this much time to prayer. And it could be a little bit in the morning, and it could be a little bit in the evening, and it could be in the afternoon, or it could be all this time. But you see what I'm saying? Designate some time. I've done my best to designate within myself that I want to spend 2.5 hours a day. That's 10% of a day. We'll tithe our check and not have anything to sweat over. Why? Because we've seen God come through. Finances, man, He's got the cattle of 1,000 hills. Yeah, but you know what He's more interested in? Just like Paul. He said, I'm not interested in yours, but you. And the Lord ain't so much interested in our willingness to throw the last 2 mites that we've got into the pot, trusting that He's going to meet every need. That's sandbox stuff, brother. That's sandbox stuff. When it comes to growing in the Lord, it's saying, well, Lord, I can throw my last 2 mites in and trust that You're going to provide for everything I need. But Lord, my time? Well, I don't have enough of that to do with what I need to as it is. And the Lord says, okay, but why aren't you trusting me with your time? You'll trust me with your money, but you won't trust me with your time. You'll trust me with your children, but you won't trust me with your time. So you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to set aside this much time out of this 24-hour period, and I'm going to make sure that I give that to You. And I'm going to read my Bible for this much time. I'm not going to worry about how many chapters I got in. I'm not going to worry about any of that. This is how much time I'm going to designate for this. Why? Because I want to keep the momentum going. So that when the trouble comes and when the hardships come and when all that stuff comes, the Spirit of God within, because of the faithfulness, will propel you through the rest of it. It'll propel you through the storms. It'll propel you through the mud. It'll get you through the sins. Because that's what Paul said in Hebrews. He said, we got so many besetting sins. He said, let's lay aside all that weight. How do you do that? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Constantly. It ain't going to hurt you to break up the routine. Amen. Say, well, I've done it this way for this long. Well, it ain't going to hurt you to break up the routine. Amen. Try something. Get the devil off his guard. Amen. I think our routine sometimes gets the devil just to where he realizes just how predictable we can be. Get him off guard. Throw a curveball at him every once in a while. Say, well, you know what? Instead of doing all my stuff today, I tell you what, I'm going to get about 20 minutes in this morning, and then I'm going to get about 30 or 45 in this afternoon when I hit my lunch break or something. You know what I mean? Just take that time. Why? We got to keep the momentum. We got to keep momentum. Would Joshua and Israel have been able to have overcome any other obstacle that would have faced them had they avoided Ai after getting beat by them? So how does the child of God expect to become stronger and have more impact with their momentum pressing forward if they just try to avoid those problem areas instead of facing them? And saying, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. That's what we need. Amen. Father, we thank You. Lord, what a blessing. What a wonderful day it's been. And Father, we come before You now asking if You would to please watch over us as we go into our prayer meeting. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, You know the hearts and You know the burdens. You know the fights and the struggles. You know it all. Lord, we thank You with all our heart for being here with us tonight. Lord, I felt Your presence just around all day. Lord, just it's been a wonderful time to just sit and think. And Lord, I'm just praying that You help us to keep up the momentum. Lord, I don't want to slow down as I see the finish line approach. Lord, the Apostle Paul, whenever he reached the end of his days, he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Lord, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Paul slowed down even once when he saw the end of his time coming. And Lord, we may be right here on the brink of this thing. Right here at the jumping off point. You're fixing to come back and call and we're fixing to go home. Lord, help us not to hit cruise control. Help us not to get in a mud and a muck and a mire. But Lord, if that does come, help us to be in fellowship with You so much so that we can propel through that with Your strength and in Your power, not our own. Lord, we sure do love You. And I thank You for these folks that came here tonight. Even though I wasn't able to be here on time, I appreciate them being willing to come. And we love You and thank You again for being so good. And we ask all this in Christ's name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.